Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or whatever the numbers read on your clock at this specific moment in time that words roll off my tongue, flow over my lips, into the mic, and through your speakers, penetrating your ear canals and stimulating your brain. Welcome to From the Mind of Mr. L. I am the compassionate Dom, sensual sadist, southern gent with a sprinkle of filth. Your host, Mr. L. I'm glad to have you all back with me again for another episode. As always, I hope that you all are doing well spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, and of course, sexually. Not much has been going on. I've had a busy past couple weeks, so we're not really going to get into me. And plus, I'm really excited about this episode. I have a guest who we will bring in a second. But before we do that, I have to say shout out to a few podcasters, because today, September 30th, is National Podcast Day, which I had no idea about until I was tagged on something in Instagram. So you know that I have to give a shout out to my people. There are a lot of podcasts out there. Shout out to y'all in general for doing what you do. I didn't know how tough of a gig, job, whatever it is for you, outlet that it is to do. I just hate editing, y'all. I really hate editing. I have to sit there and listen to myself, and I hate listening to myself because I do not hear the same things that y'all hear. So I really hate it, but I do it anyway. So shout out to y'all. But these specific ones, of course, the Poom Poom Chronicles with my girl AJ, the Badass Jones, the Dirty Girl herself. Shout out to you. Love you to death. Part of the Three Guys and the Girls, the Smutty Avengers. Y'all can catch us every other Wednesday on Instagram Live. We have a host of different topics, from everyday life type deals, some deep shit, and also sex. You know, I have to bring the filth aspect as always with my guy, Val and Slim. I would definitely, yo, shout out to you, AJ, for making that happen. So y'all go listen to the Poom Poom Chronicles podcast. Secondly, my guy, George Cruz, no relation to Terry Cruz, with the Idiosyncratic podcast. Shout out to that guy. Please go listen to him. He talks some real shit, has some very real conversations and topics. The brat herself, Shiny, with Lipstick Laundry podcast. Definitely go listen to her, her little bratty ass. But that's the homie. I love her dearly. Shout out to you. The Barbie Way podcast with my girl, Courtney V. She's always down for some controversial shit, and she doesn't back down. So for sure, go listen to her. Check her podcast out. I also have 973 Vibes, the boys up north. Go check them out. They spit some facts. They talk about a bunch of stuff. Look forward to having them on, or at least one of them on, very soon. The Fun Sexual, my girl over there. Shout out to you, the Fun Sexual podcast with, wow, I was about to mess up your name. I'm sorry. But Majesty, please go listen to her. One of the first podcasts I started listening to when I got into this thing, because I wasn't like a big podcast person. But she has some very interesting stories. She is fun, like literally the Fun Sexual is who Majesty is. So please go check her out with some of her episodes. Here's some of her experiences, her thoughts and things. And of course, Heart of Soft podcast. If you know Tahoe and help me out.
Orlando.
Wow. Tahoe and Orlando, for some reason I had a brain fart. Just for also being black men who are open and are willing to speak about sexual topics. Appreciate you, fellas. Continue to do great work. And then we do have my guys. They add a little bit of funny aspect, or give me some type of laughter and comedy. I've been following them since I was in high school, and they had YouTube videos. But my boy is Dormtainment with the Comedy Trap House podcast. Please go listen to that if you want to hear some good jokes, interesting stories, thoughts. You're going to get a good laugh. And last but not least, because she is our guest for this episode, Kinks with Kiki podcast. The reason that there is a From the Mind of Mr. L, without ever being invited on her podcast, I would not be here today. I promise you that. So shout out to Kinks with Kiki podcast. How you feeling today, ma'am?
I'm good. bit tired, but I'm good.
We are. I know I'm happy to have you back on. You got any podcasts you want to shout out real quick?
Oh, God.
Some that I may not have covered or some that I did that you just want to.
I do. If you guys are listeners of my podcast, y'all know I've been on a lot of podcasts. So, of course, shout out to From the Mind of Mr. L.
Yeah, yeah.
I've also been on the Idiosyncratic podcast. Shout out to George. Lovers Quarrel, one of my favorite, if not my favorite couples, Lovers Quarrel with Danny and TJ. Congratulations on your son. She had a baby a couple of days ago. Change the subject with BJ. I love you, love you, love you. Of course, the Poom Poom Chronicles. I've been on Reasonable Ignorance podcast, Talking Shit. Josh, I miss you dearly. You know, heartstrings. Also, congratulations to you and Tasha on your new house. Horrible Decisions, of course, Hard to Solve. Like, shout out to Orlando and Tahoe. I love Orlando. Period, sis. Passions Out the Dark. Like, I've been Bull and Bunny podcasts. I've been on so many podcasts, but like, these are actually active podcasts that I listen to on a consistent basis. Humbly Arrogant, shout out to Rock B. Wildin' and one of my faves, Rome. And Vital Information, Erin, no, I love her, like Erin and AJ. So yeah, those are a few of mine. I listen to about 60 podcasts. Oh my God, The Good Brother Experience with the OG Black man, Reek. Favorite pod. So yeah, it's so many. I'm not going to do that because we'll be here all night because I have like 30,000 pods I listen to.
Yeah, you're definitely more inclined to the podcast community.
Yeah, I'm about a decade into this thing. I've been listening to podcasts since like 2012.
Wow, I was just listening to sports talk radio at that time. That and Kanye West, Drake, Lil Wayne. Yeah, that's all.
Yeah, I was a whole podcast head, like consistently. Started with The Read and Brilliant Idiots, and then it just grew from there.
Speaking of podcast, how is your podcast doing? What's been going on with the Kinks with Kiki podcast lately?
The podcast is going good. You guys know I was on a hiatus. And I want to shout out to Katie. I know she'll hear this episode. And I just want to say thank you for your kind words in the DM that you sent me. And she was absolutely right. She was like, I shouldn't have to apologize for taking breaks because I'm going through like flare-ups or illness. And she's right. I shouldn't. I do anyway. I literally did it on this week's episode. But she's right. I shouldn't have to apologize. But I've been on break. I just came back after about 3 weeks. I did an episode this week on Unicorn. So podcast is going good. You know, still bi-weekly. It's going to probably be bi-weekly indefinitely. But going good.
That's what's up. I'm glad to hear it. I have not listened to the Unicorn episode yet, but I'm excited to.
I haven't gotten any feedback, so I'm like, maybe that's a good thing. Because most people are like, what are you? Especially, like, I love my poly people, but I have to tread lightly when I talk about poly-type topics because that's not something I'm well-versed in. So I want to be as neutral and unbiased as possible. So I guess I did my job this time because usually they'll get me.
Well, make sure y'all go check that out. Please go listen to Kinks with Kiki. It is a dope podcast. She definitely has more information than I do when it comes to a lot of kinks. I honestly just go based off of experience and a little bit of research. But if you go and listen to her episodes, I promise you will learn some things that you might just be like, oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go ahead and dive into the episode because I don't want to waste it. I want to have as much time as possible to get through as many of these as we can. And when I found out that October is National Kink Month,
we're gonna get there
because I was looking up national like sex holidays because there's so many of them and they always sneak up. I only find out about them usually because of Instagram or somebody might post something on Twitter and then I'm like, oh shit, I didn't know it was National Eat Pussy Day or something. I missed out. And it's kind of one of those things where like, okay, you can do it on a regular basis, but you know, it feels a little special to do it on the national holiday. Like you have to celebrate. You know, nobody celebrates the 4th of July.
Stop. 23rd. not to cut you off, sidebar, I actually did an episode on, this was, I want to say last fall, on kink holidays. And I think it was called Not Your Normal Hallmark, or I can't remember the episode, guys. Bear with me. It's a lot of them. And I talked about all kink holidays. So I will send you the link that has every kink holiday, every sexual holiday of the year. So I'll send you that later.
Cool. I will take it, because I actually also plan on doing an episode on it. Yay! Everybody needs to know this, especially. But anyways, yeah, so you were the first person to come to mind. First of all, one, Kinks with Keek. It's in the name of your podcast. Yes. This is what you do. Like, this is your shit. So who better to have on than Kinks with Kiki?
Right.
Also, this is your month. Like, yes, you said, today, the day we are recording, September the 30th.
Yes,
tomorrow, which is going to be technically the day that this episode is released, is a very special day.
It is.
It is your birthday.
Yes, Libra, gay, gay, gay. I will be 34. I'm so excited.
Virgos, I'm sorry. This season felt so short. Maybe it was
I forget about y'all season every year. Sorry, Virgos. I tend to go from Leo season straight to Libra.
As long as you don't forget my birthday, that's all that matters.
Of course, can't speak I only know like three Virgos where I won't forget their birthdays. So
I think everybody usually has about three Virgos in their group, and that's it. That's all they can take. But we're not gonna get into that. We are not gonna get into that. But yeah, so it is your birthday month.
Yes,
it is National Kink Month, which it's fitting. It's fitting.
So that fitting for me.
The beginning of the month is National Kink Month, and it is also your birthday.
I am the ambassador of this month. Okay,
you really are. It's spooky season.
I'm Halloween the ambassador of spooky season. Yes, there I'm so hyped.
Starts getting a little cooler outside. I know you're in New York. It's gonna be cold.
It's y'all already
just
cold.
Fall, and it's gonna be winter.
It's already cold. Like, not like chilly cold, like freezing cold, but it's definitely long sleeves. You can wear a light sweater. Some nights you might have to turn on the heat. It's not like god awful cold. Right. We ain't got there yet. We got a good 2 months until we get 2 or 3 months until we get there. Mm-hmm. But it's a little chilly. I had on a long sleeve shirt today, and I could wear a nice jacket tomorrow and be okay.
That's dope.
It sucks.
I can live in New York because of that.
Exactly. But
with it being cold out, you know, leaves changing, the weather's getting a little bit more crisp. We're going to be in the house just a little bit more. Well, you typically, I don't know, since the pandemic and everything's been shut down, people are eager to get out still.
Right.
But for the most part, we're going to be inside where it's nice, warm, and cozy. So it's also fitting that October is Kink Month, National Kink Month, because you'll be inside. You can kind of experiment more, indulge into some kinks. Mm-hmm. And I think that's perfect, especially leading into the winter time, because then it gives you some opportunities to know kind of, all right, I might be into this a little bit. I tried this one time, you know, I like it, because there are a host of kinks out there.
Yes, it is.
And if you haven't realized by now, this episode's topic is about nothing but kinks. So let's start off with just a little bit about your background, Kiki, because you were on the episode Toys That Stuff More Than Just Stockings, my second episode, I believe, where we talked about sex toys. If y'all haven't listened to that, go back and listen. It was a really good episode. So we're going to start with kind of your background. Like, what got you into kinks, and especially podcasting about kinks?
All right. So, long story in a quick narrative. I'm going to give you the cliff notes. So, again, like I said, I've been listening to, I did say that. I've been listening to podcasts since 2012. First podcast I ever started listening to was The Read. And if you guys know me, especially if you know me personally, you know I go hard for The Read. I never miss a live show. I'm in there every Tuesday, used to be Thursday. I'm there, have been since 2013. Originally, the idea of starting a kink-related podcast came in 2013, but I was too nervous to do it. So, I'm sorry, not 2013. It came in 2014 when I was introduced to kink. So, I was introduced to the world of BDSM by my ex Dom. At this time, we were not dating. We were not involved. It was kind of like we kind of just knew each other, but not to the degree of me knowing like what he's into in detail. I just knew that he was into some kinky stuff. So as I got into it with him and like explored my own kinks, you guys know I have a history. Like, he's my ex-dom. He's had multiple submissives. He and I were involved for about 3 years. And at the end of 2017, because I had done 3 years of being a submissive and eventually being a sex slave, I'm like, I have a vast knowledge of BDSM and how things should go in training. So at the end of 2017, I started deciding like to teeter around maybe doing a podcast, but I wasn't sure. And what actually put the fire under my ass was Josh and my friend Millie from Cincinnati. He is by Connections Podcast. Hey, Millie, love you. I went to a podcast meetup. There is a huge podcast meetup in New York where all Black podcasters from all over get together and we network, we get to know each other, we talk, we learn things from each other. And I, at the time, had no podcast. My best friend actually sent me the ticket and was like, you want to start a podcast, you need to go. So this was like April of 2018. I meet Millie. I tell Millie what I have, like, didn't know Millie, complete stranger, but I meet him and I tell him the idea I have for a podcast. And he's like, oh shit, you need to go talk to this dude. He points to Josh. I go talk to Josh. I literally walk up to Josh and I'm like, hey, I was told I need to talk to you. And he was like, the fuck? But I told him what I was interested in. He told me at the time he had his podcast, the Talking Shit podcast, where it was two men talking about, you know, sex, emotions, vulnerability, accountability, which I loved. And he was like, you should come on the show. And I went on the show and like literally the rest is history. So like after the show, like a month later, I started my own podcast. And that was May of 2018. So that was my origin story, you know, from submissive to podcaster.
That's dope. That is fire. All right. So when was your first time just like, oh, I'm into kinks? Was it the submissive part, or was there something else where it just triggered? Like for myself, I've said it plenty of times. Tumblr really was just like eye opening for me. And I was just, wow, this looks interesting. I want to try to do this.
Oh, Tumblr was lit. Tumblr, I was introduced to kink by my ex, but Tumblr was definitely what opened my eyes to the world of kink. So my ex is the one who opened my eyes to kink and like alternative sex lifestyles as a Black person. But Tumblr, and I say this to this day, well, not now, because, you know, Tumblr, RIP. But Tumblr opened my eyes to the different types of kinks, because I was learning everything under his umbrella. So it was his type of kinks. And he didn't necessarily have any fetishes, but his type of kinks. Mm-hmm. And going on Tumblr and doing my own research, which is why I used to tell people back in the day, I'm like, you need additional information, go to Tumblr. It opened my eyes, like, just so I'm like, oh, okay, so it's just not what he likes, it's different things out there.
Oh, definitely. So
I would definitely say Tumblr was one of those that opened my eyes. Like, I was lit on Tumblr. I had about 14,000 followers on Tumblr. Mm-hmm. Oh, good days. So if I had an OnlyFans, I would probably be paid if it was like Tumblr.
Ooh, but ladies, gentlemen, them, theys, and all of those who identify as what you identify as, I have been trying my best to encourage her to start an OnlyFans. Maybe one day. Who knows? We'll see. But
maybe.
All right. So you mentioned the word fetish.
Yes.
And in your words, because there may be some new time listeners who aren't familiar with kinks or fetishes, the whole lifestyle of that. Can you tell us what is the difference between a kink and a fetish?
Oh, I can. A fetish is needed, a kink is not. So by that, I mean, if a person has a fetish for tickling, that means they actually need to be tickled in order to be sexually aroused. While versus if it's, I have a tickling kink, it is, I like to, you know, be tickled. Mm-hmm. sometimes in a sexual nature or in some type of sexual activity, but I don't necessarily need it to be sexually aroused. So that's the difference. A fetish is needed sexually, a kink is not. In my words, I can't, you know, that's not the Webster dictionary terminology, but a fetish is something, an activity, whatever it may be, that, sorry about that, thank you, New York, that is needed in order to be sexually aroused versus like just having a kink where it's just something you love to do sexually, non-sexually.
So I was sitting here thinking, because I know there are some people who require oral sex, you know, in order to get to where they need to be. So could oral sex be counted as a fetish?
It could be counted as a fetish because I know a lot of people who don't need oral sex to be sexually aroused. But if it's something that you need where I like, i.e. I'm not going to be turned on unless I get hit, unless I get my pussy ate. That is in the realm of like a fetish. Versus,
but it also could fall in as a kink as well.
It could, and that could be, it's levels to kink. It could be, I like my pussy ate, but I also like my pussy ate like upside down, or I like my pussy ate outside. That does it for me sexually. Like that could be, it doesn't necessarily have to be just like oral sex. It could be how the oral sex is given. Oh, I like to have my pussy ate with a toy or with a vibrator. First,
okay, so Dr. Seuss Jr. Because all I'm thinking is I like my green eggs and hams on a plane, you know, on the train. I'll eat it on the bus. So, since you brought that up, just real quick, where do you most enjoy getting your pussy ate?
You guys have heard me say this a lot. I don't really necessarily need my pussy ate. Like, I'm perfectly okay. It's not one of those
things. That wasn't the question, though. Where do you enjoy the most to get your pussy ate?
The bed is fine. The room is, like, that's how you know that's just not, it's, I'm like, I'm okay without it. It's not a fetish. I'm okay in the room, standing up, in the room or the living room.
In the room,
outside.
From is there a leg up or is there?
I'm like, there's definitely a leg up.
Okay. You might know something that I don't. So I was curious.
No.
But thank you for letting us know the difference in your words between a kink and a fetish, because I think that is very important for people to know, especially if you are really just now getting into learning about kinks and fetishes and expanding your sexual knowledge. Do you have three top kinks for you?
I do.
Like there's a lot of kinks out there, y'all. There's so many.
So many levels to this. This podcast wouldn't exist if it wasn't like a vast amount of kinks, because there are so many, y'all, I have not even touched on. Like, and y'all know I've done like haul episodes of like 6 or 7 kinks at once, and there's still an endless amount of kinks that I haven't even covered.
Let's get your top three.
So my top three would definitely be orgasm play, whether that be denial or torture, bondage, and impact play. Top three easily.
Top three.
Yes.
Orgasm control. That is definitely my favorite, I believe, as well.
Right.
It's just partially the dom in me, but also it's just more than having the control. It's also my partner trusts me in order to either give her, you know, as many orgasms as possible or deny her the pleasure of having an orgasm. So it's just fun overall. And then coming up with creative ways to make it happen or to not make it happen. It's fun because I don't like doing the same thing over and over. I like coming up with creative ways to throw in the mix. Impact play.
I'm sorry, I actually hate orgasm denial.
Well, you're a brat, so I would assume so.
It's infuriating.
I've never come across a brat who enjoyed orgasm denial. I mean, they did because of all the factors behind it.
Yes, of course.
Ultimately, they hated that shit.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Which is fine. It's okay. It's not up to you. It's up to the person who's in control. Have you come across any kinks that's kind of just like raise your eyebrow, like, oh, this isn't quite in my ministry. And before you answer this question, mm-hmm. because I want to make it perfectly clear to everyone, we don't kink shame here.
Not at
all.
There
may be some things that we might personally not agree with, or that we might personally not do.
Right.
Doesn't mean that we are shaming other people for it. You enjoy your best sexual life as long as you are not hurting someone without consent.
Absolutely. I could not agree with you more. To piggyback off of that, our opinions are our opinions. They are not law, and we are entitled to them. So if you take offense, you take offense, but that doesn't change the fact that we still have an opinion at the end of the day. Again, like, what we're saying is not law. We're giving our opinions on things that are not for us, but that doesn't mean that we are judging people who are into it. Absolutely not.
So with that being said, what kink is just not in your ministry?
So, guys, I am so sorry. Y'all know I did a crime kink episode sometime last year. And for the life of me, I can't remember the name of the kink because it has such a long name. It was like Crema something, the Philia. I'll have to find it. But it is the kink, or like the fetish, either or, honestly, of being attracted to somebody who's committed murder. Oh. Or being sexually aroused by committing murder.
So
not in
my
ministry.
I was listening to an older episode of yours, mm-hmm. and there was a kink, I do not remember the name of it, but it was like sexual gratification or turn on from doing stuff with weapons. And you said that there was a time that a couple did something with a gun and the woman ended up getting killed.
He accidentally shot her because they thought the gun wasn't loaded. And it was, and it accidentally killed, either killed her or it killed him. I can't remember. I think it killed her. Mm-hmm. Complete accident. But yeah, like, I'm curious about knife play, but I'm very skittish about weapons just for the like safety.
The danger.
Reasons.
Like, it's very dangerous, especially if you don't know what you're doing. That is one of my big things. Like, please do not just dive into play where there can be serious repercussions mm-hmm. from it, especially to the body. Yeah, be very careful about it. Do your research. I would say talk to someone or just find out whatever you need to, all aspects of it, before just diving into it. Something like knife play. Like, I've thought about knife play before. It's something that if I get to, cool. If I don't, I'm perfectly fine without it. But
it's
something. There's something fascinating about
it is.
how much can I get away with touching your skin with this knife without hurting you? Because as a kid, I was one of those kids who would always try to do like every single thing and not and like get away with it, or I would get caught. Then I would figure out why I got caught, go back and try to do it again, and just fix whatever it was. So that I didn't get caught. And that's kind of how I think I carry that over into the knife play. We're like, all right, let me see how thin of a line can I travel with this without, you know, messing somebody up. But if I had a steady enough hand, then I would have been a doctor, and I'm not a doctor. So therefore, knife play, if I don't get to it, I'm cool on it.
And the thing about it is, it's not necessarily the knife itself. You can also have fun with the handle. I know a few people who are into knife play who like to be fucked by the knife handle. Of course, the knife guard is on, so the person who's using it on said person isn't going to like slice their hand open. So yeah, it's not just the blade itself. The blade itself falls under the narrative of like fear play, which is a whole thing, because it's not just knife play, it's gun play mm-hmm. and everything else. But yeah, you can use the handles, like swords. It doesn't necessarily have to be like the knife, like the blade itself.
At one point, I judged people who threw guns up in videos, like showing them off and stuff, like, oh, blah, 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 blah. Well, I wouldn't say judge, but I was just like, you know, this could be self-incriminating. But now that I know that there are some people out there who get turned on by the thought of, oh, I could get fucked by this gun, it's like, hey, all right, yo, there's somebody out here for everybody.
It is.
So somebody is watching this video now and they're just getting their rocks off, because, you know. All right. That's very interesting. That is one of you. I know another one of yours, which is my top one, would be like scat play type stuff.
Fluids, urine, mm-hmm. feces, blood, they are a little bit too much for me. I do know people who are into blood play too personally. I'm not going to say their names, but if you listen to me, you've definitely heard them before as well. So you've probably heard them discuss it themselves. One of them mm-hmm. I actually did an episode with and discussed it with that person. So two people who I do know who are into like blood play and bloodletting. I'm just not into fluids for, you know, safety reasons, and scat and urine just aren't my thing. Like excrements, I'm cool on. That's not the shame, because I do know a lady in Texas, hey girl, hey, who, you know, makes money off of scat play. And my episode, I do
get your coin. I am all for getting your coin.
I do plan to do an episode with her about scat play, because she's definitely the person to talk to. She's like the expert mm-hmm. in dealing with people, women, men, ladies, thadies, all those who are actually into scat play.
Okay. All right, then. And not my ministry, but if that is yours, enjoy it to the fullest.
Absolutely. Just be safe. Please be safe, because body fluids do transmit disease.
Yes, they do. Is there a kink that you've come across just throughout the years where you haven't tried, but you've been fascinated by, outside of knife play? Like, I would say that you would want to try.
Two, actually.
Okay. What are they?
Electric play and kidnapping kink. Yes.
Okay, so with electric play, is there anywhere in particular, or is there any way in particular that you would have it? Because when I think of electric play, I know that there are toys now that mm-hmm. can help out with that. So are you like, all right, I would want it on my neck, on my nipples, on my clit? What do you imagine when you imagine of this electric play?
I would like to use a violet wand. That's something
I'm sorry, a violet wand.
So it's like a purple wand that kind of gives off like electrical charges when it touches the skin. It's like a light tap, or it can be extreme. I guess it just depends on how firm and how often you use it. So that I'm willing to experiment with to see where exactly I like it. So I'm willing to have it in like all of the erogenous zones to see if it's something I like or if it's something I don't like, because it's too sensitive. So
gotcha.
Definitely only electric play if I can use a violet wand.
Okay. I'm just sitting here in my mind and I'm thinking like, all right, how can I recreate this if I don't currently have anything? And the thing that's coming to my mind is if I like rub my feet across the floor with socks on, and then I like tap her nipple. Just give a little zap just to see how she reacts.
Nipple rings and the, like they're metal. So now you've got to electrocute her.
That'll be fine. If she enjoys it, then it will just continue to go and float throughout the metal.
No.
And then we'll figure out what to do from there when it gets to that point.
All right.
But that's perfectly fine. Shout out to the ladies with their nipples pierced. Love y'all.
High five to us.
And then the kidnapping.
Yes.
Okay.
I've been curious.
Now, is this a whole scene of kidnapping from the point of you get kidnapped and your partner with consent has their way with you?
Yes, absolutely. Like snatching me up, tying me up, throwing me in a backseat, and then like us getting to the destination. And it's almost like rape play, so to speak. But it's kind of like both in one. And I try to like tread lightly with that term in particular, because, you know, you want to be careful. Like I know, like, you know, rape culture is,
it's a very triggering thing.
Yeah, it is. And I don't want me to, like, people to be thinking that I'm just out here like, yes, I want to get, I don't. This is, you know, me being a consenting adult, having a conversation and an agreement with another consenting adult to do these things. And of course, at any given moment, if it's something I or they aren't comfortable with, we stop, no questions asked, and it is what it is. But kidnapping can't just, you know, like silently being kidnapped and just tied up, and it doesn't have to be like a forceful kidnapping. Like that would be something that would be agreed upon. But yeah, I'm curious about it.
consent is key. Yes. I always say it. I will continue to say it. But it's definitely one of those things that are on my list to do as well. And it would have to be like for me, in my mindset, it would have to be agreed upon, of course, first.
Yes.
But then I'm just like, do we set a date for it? Or should I think that I would give, hey, between these 3 days, just know it's going to happen.
Right.
Because I still want that suspense behind it to happen. Right. So for any of those who have actually participated in kidnapping or the R word role play, please let me know, because I have a lot of questions. It's definitely one of the things that I want to do. It's such a turn on. And I think that may be the dominating side in me. We're just having that complete control, and I do as I please. Of course, safe words, because they are important. And I mean, if my partner chooses not to have a safe word, then okay.
Yes, like
I'm not getting abusive with it. No, I know their limits. I still push them past it a little bit, but right. Not too far.
Consensual non-consent often treads the line anyway, but there's a reason it's called consensual non-consent, because you are giving consent for this person to take control of you. Both of you are aware that this is going to be happening. Both of you are in agreement that this is going to be happening. I did an episode on consensual
non-consent. So I'm going to pause right there and read the definition, because that is one that I came across on this website of All Kinks. Consensual non-consent. Participants here give up their consent and give total control to the other person. It required open communication and a safe word. Before you engage in consensual non-consent, you should negotiate the terms with your partner, because otherwise the kink can be dangerous and in extreme cases can even turn into a trauma.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So that is very important. The consent, the conversations to be had, knowing each other's boundaries.
Yes.
Please do that. Before we dive into kinks, okay, like other kinks, what are some common misconceptions that usually people who are, I guess, would be on the outside looking in, or even on the inside still looking in, have when it comes to kinks?
Depending on the type of kink, especially when it comes to like relationship dynamics, like DSMS.
And by DSMS, you mean?
Like, dominance and submission, master slave, mistress slave, those type of relationships. The misconceptions on kink are, the biggest misconceptions that I've experienced and I've heard are that people who are into things that are outside of the societal norms, there's something mentally wrong with them there. Like if a person is a sadist, oh, something must be wrong with them. They're not love them and enough. There's
nothing wrong with me that I know of. I will ask my therapist when I find one. But as far as I know, I just enjoy the type of pleasure that comes with being a sadist. I enjoy causing pain and embarrassment in a sexual aspect. Now, the embarrassment part, that depends on how you act when we are out in public. If I need to, then I will embarrass you in still a cute, loving, and fun way that only you and maybe a couple other people will know that. Oh,
yeah, that's different. Like, well, I'm too sensitive for humiliation and degradation kinks, but it's either like what the misconceptions I've heard are either there's something mentally wrong with you, or in regards to women who identify as submissive or choose to be sex slaves or little girls are often told, oh, you have low self-esteem. You don't love yourself enough. No, I love myself enough to do it. So that's
there's a very, very thin line to walk when with sadism and degrading.
Yes.
And it's like, for myself, when it comes to degrading someone, I don't want to attack those things that are going to trigger that type of emotion out of them, because there are some things that people go through in life that's pretty fucked up and can trigger them.
Right.
So it's really important to know your partner and know where you can go with it, even being degrading. Like, you can still be degrading and avoid a lot of triggering things for them. But when we talk about sadism, because this episode is about kinks and there may be some people who don't know about them. Sadism, the S part of BDSM culture, sadism means kinksters desire to give pain for their own sexual pleasure. It must be noted that sexual sadists enjoy pain in a sexual context. Most sadists won't desire the pain of their partners outside the sexual context. In severe cases, sadisms can be classified as a disorder, which, yes. But we'll get into that
narcissism and sadism later. Nope. Sorry.
Okay, so in a dom-sub relationship or in a master-slave type relationship, you said that the common misconception is...
Yes, especially with the women. Not necessarily the men. The women are always, of course, y'all know we always get the shit end of the deal. We're always shamed for everything that we choose to do.
Oh, I'll jump in on the men's part in a second after you.
Usually when a woman identifies as a submissive and she's like collared or she's a slave, she's owned, like the misconception is, oh, well, she doesn't love herself. That's why she's allowing this man to do this to her. No, she consented to this man doing this to her. It's not that she's allowing it. She wants it to be done as much as he wants to do it. So it's always, oh, she has a little self-esteem. She doesn't love herself. That's not necessarily the case at all. If anything, it's a confidence booster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I agree. And the thing about dom sub relationships from a dom perspective, point of view, being in that lifestyle and also just educating myself on it, one thing to know is that not all doms are the same. I think that is a common misconception as well.
Ah.
I think that that people think that doms should be this way or are this way because that's either what they've experienced, that's what they've seen. And that is not the case. Each dom is different. Each dom has different rules, has different ideas, different goals, different motives, different ways they treat their subs. So I think that in this DS topic, as far as kink goes, that is a common misconception. And it's not just from the submissive's point of view, but also from the dom's point of view, because I do feel like there are some doms who feel as though they have to live up to this type of expectation as a dom, where in reality, you need to be comfortable in what you're able to do or want to do, because then you have the confidence that your submissive needs you to have. So do not, from one dom to other doms and also to the submissives, do not base your dominance off of other doms. There's a reason why I have been dubbed the compassionate dom, is because I am still a compassionate person. I can still show compassion to my sub where another dom may not. But at the same time, don't get it twisted. Don't get it fucked up. I will still snatch a submissive up by her neck or grab her by her hair and say or do whatever I need to, especially if she's a brat. But yeah, so that, and also being a bully versus being a dom, there's definitely a difference there. Hypermasculinity usually comes into play when that is presented with the bully aspect of it, and also toxic masculinity as well, which, I mean, hey, if that's what you're attracted to, then that's perfectly fine. You go and you live your best life with that one. What about another common misconception that you've come across, Kiki? Throughout
those
your years.
Were great. First off, on the flip side of that, listening to things that I've been told, not every submissive is going to be the same.
Very true.
I like to think that a really good, not saying that all submissives aren't good, everyone's good and great and bad in their own ways, whether it's a good, bad, or bad, bad. Not all submissives are the same. Not all submissives are going to have the same level of obedience with the same person. And I'm learning that oftentimes a really good submissive that is like truly devoted and dedicated to being submissive to you and serving you is almost as rare as a unicorn. Like, very hard to come by, from what I've been told. From a person who's had several submissives, it's that one good one that no one can quite measure up to.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that that's the case in all like situations, but like you said, every submissive is not the same. You're going to have some bratty submissives. You're going to have some needy submissives. You're going to have some distant submissives, standoffish submissives. We're all, it's like, you know, a snowflake. Not one is, not all, there isn't one that's just alike, like, or, you know what I mean?
Right.
Bear with me, y'all.
So with that, one of the other things is, I do believe whether you're a dom or a submissive, if you do kind of have that one dom or submissive person that you had, was they just like fit you. Compatibility is really big as well. Extremely. Not just in relationships, but even in like a dom submissive type relationship, whether you are romantically involved or whether you're not, you still need to be compatible in some way, shape, or form,
right,
or it's not going to work out for the both of you. But when you try to live up to the expectations of the previous dom or the previous submissive, you, about, I would say maybe about 80%, 85% of the time, you're going to be let down.
Agreed.
That's why I say live in your truth as the dom that you are, or as the submissive that you are. Just like we talked about having those conversations with the kidnap play, have conversations about what you expect from your dom, what you expect from your submissive, things of that nature. So that way you can find out if you're compatible or not, because trust me, there's nothing worse than wasting your time with a submissive or a dom that you are not compatible with, and you're just sitting there butting heads and neither one of you are happy and you're mad at both of each other. So that's
well said.
Another common misconception when it comes to kinks that I've come across is that just because you are into sexual things does not make you weird. It doesn't make you a pervert. It doesn't make there's nothing wrong with you for branching out and enjoying or trying different things. One of the main reasons with this podcast is to educate, to entertain, but also to educate people when it comes to this, because a lot of people in our generation and the generations before, and even some of the generations after, they weren't really educated on sex and kinks. Like, we went through health, and we got the birds and the bees talk, which I'm gonna be honest with you, I still don't know what the birds and the bees mean.
Not at all.
My parents was just, my dad was just like, hey, listen, let's have a conversation. You know, if you decide to have sex, you know that there's consequences to it. You can either catch an STD or you get a girl pregnant. If you get it pregnant, then you got to take care of it. It's not my child, that's yours. And that's all I needed to hear.
That's real.
So yeah, I still don't know what the birds and the bees mean. But like, that was the education. And we know for majority of us, went through public school systems, especially in the South, health education, when it came to sex, you had maybe like 2 days on it and then they kept it moving.
And that was it.
And it didn't dive into what it needed to. So it's not talked about enough, especially in the Black community. I'm 31. You'll be 34 tomorrow or today when this episode drops. But our generation, the one before it and the one after it, we need to realize that the things that were looked at as perverted or this person is disgusting or weird, that no, it's actually normal. A lot of people have these thoughts. They're just afraid to express them. They're afraid to communicate them to whoever it is. So that is one of the common misconceptions that I have come across.
That was a good one. I'm trying to think of, because I've said the main two that I've literally heard like my entire like chapter of kink and like that in that part of my life. Like, the only things I've ever heard is like, oh, self-esteem must be low. Oh, there must be something wrong there mentally. No, that's not the case. Like, because I went from not being into it to being into it. And I chose to stay in it because
it's fun. It's enjoyable.
Thank you. It was something like, I thoroughly enjoyed. So, of course, I'm going to stay in something that I like and that works for me and that's fitting for me. It's not a mental issue. Like, I'm perfectly sane, safe, and consensual. If you know, you know. And I don't think it's anything wrong with me because I, unfortunately, not unfortunately, but I fortunately like things that you, if you're vanilla or, you know, used to societal norms, are accustomed to.
Right.
I'm not going to apologize for that. Like, okay, so I like to be choked. If that's not your ministry, then that's cool.
Exactly. Like, I love to smack or either get smacked. Now, it's not a fetish, so it's not required. But I still enjoy it.
Right.
My last episode, I talked about, hey, the nastier I can talk to someone, the more turned on I am. And it's not an all the time thing, which brings me to another common misconception that that I've come across, which is that we who are, I wouldn't say big into kinks, but who do jump into kinks, we still do enjoy vanilla sex every now and then. Oh, like, there's a time and a place for it.
Yes.
Like, just because we do like to try this or we like to do that, there's still a time and a place for vanilla sex. I believe it might have been on your episode, you had said something like, yo, if you're into orgasm control or deny, like, it's only but so much a person can take. Right. And you may need some time to recover, but you still want to get your, you know, get yours.
Yes. So
during that recovery time or whatever it is, ain't nothing wrong with just flipping over and sliding in and getting it in.
Exactly.
Especially, like, let's take morning sex, for instance. I'm okay with waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning. That's typical. I say like
that's
four.
That's the best
typically.
Time between 3 and 5.
Exactly. Because that's typical peak morning wood time.
It is.
And as well as the pussy's been marinating all night. I don't need to be kinky during that time because, one, I do realize what time of day it is.
We're all sleeping. Two, sleep.
That pussy gonna hit no matter what. So all I need to do is just roll over, slide in, get a nice little session in. It doesn't have to jump in. It doesn't have to be a whole bunch of positions.
Right.
It don't have to include the toys at this moment. There are times where you don't have to include the toys. I just want to get in there. We enjoy ourselves, bust our nuts, and then we go back to sleep, wake up, and get the day started. So, yes. There's still, and it doesn't even just have to be a at night type deal. It can be during the daytime. It can be during just a regular time that you might have a session. Vanilla sex is okay. Like, right. I still enjoy vanilla sex, whatever my definition of it is, where, hey, we just doing a few positions, that's it, and we calling it a day.
Right. And that goes back to kink not being a fetish.
There we go.
Because you don't need it to enjoy sex. You just like it.
So right before we jumped on, I came across something on Instagram that someone posted.
Oh boy.
The_divine_kink. And it says, kinks don't always last forever. Kinks don't always last forever. There are probably as many kinks as there are people to explore them. Facts. Like everything in life, activities we are drawn to may change depending on factors like age, knowledge, and preference. Kinks and fetishes may be rooted in unexpressed curiosities, traumas, and other factors. As we explore and heal, we may not feel attached to them like we were when we were first introduced. When this happens, feelings of confusion can arise as we decide who we are and what we like at different times in our lives. This may be a good time to explore new things that resonate with this chapter in our evolution. Freedom to let go of things that no longer serve us should include all activities, even the kinky ones. I really like that.
Wow, that was awesome.
I really do. And it made me think, because one thing also that I've seen in the past is that people expect, you know, because their partner did this before, they're going to do it with me. And that is also another common misconception with kinks. Just because they did it in the past doesn't mean they still fuck with it now.
They've outgrown
it. They just don't have any interest in it. Mm-hmm. Or there may have been a traumatizing experience with it. You never know.
Right.
You would have to find this out with your partner. But do not go in expecting that, oh, just because she ate this dude's ass before you, that she's going to jump in and do it for you. Like, no. She can tweet about it. She can post it, whatever. And that may attract you. Like, oh, I like that.
Right.
And then when you get to it, she doesn't do it anymore, or he doesn't do it anymore.
I mean, and it is what it is. Like, and you have to be okay with that. But if you're looking for a partner that eats ass, and you know this person used to eat ass and they don't eat ass anymore, then you need to leave that person be if that's not what's going to be, you know, the person that sexually satisfies you in a way that you deserve to be satisfied.
Exactly.
Yes. That was really good.
It was. All right. So, any other common misconceptions that you may have that we can clear up for the people? Like you said, you are the ambassador of kinks. You are the ambassador of October. spooky season, all yes. of it. Kinktober, that's what we are dubbing it.
Kinktober.
It is Kinktober. Happy Kinktober, everybody.
I would say the last misconception I can think of is not a misconception, more of a stigma. Let's take, and I mean, and this is as a Black woman, I know we Black y'all, like a lot of Black listeners. Hey, y'all, hey, let's take the stigma out of the master-slave dynamic of BDSM. I often know when that's a word that I've mentioned is very triggering to people. They're like, you're just a slave? Like, it's not, you know, 1783. Like, right. that's you. Do your, you know, do your Googles. Tumblr is your friend. Well, used to be.
Used to be.
Yeah, like, unfortunately, do your research on.
I miss you, friend. Come back.
I know. I'm sorry. I just had a moment. But yeah, like, let's take the stigma out of that wording, because it's not to the degree of what you think it is if you haven't asked the person that's actually mm-hmm. in that dynamic, because I learned for myself there are deep levels to the MS part of BDSM. It's not just, you know, oh, well, they're a slave, so they're just doing everything. It's levels to it. It could just right. be a sexual slave where they do everything, no questions asked, sexually. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're like, you know, saying yes, I'm massa, and like cleaning the kitchen and the bathroom with their tongue. Like, it just, it's levels to it. And they may be, who knows? I don't kink shame, mm-hmm. but I'm just saying it's levels to it. Let's take the stigma out of the master slave dynamic of BDSM. So it's not a misconception, it's just removing a stigma, because it's important.
Got you.
Yes.
Yeah, I heard the lady said. My final word on the misconceptions, especially when it comes to dominant submissive relationships, it can be just for the scenes, the sexual scenes that you have with your partner. Like, if a certain person in your dynamic is dominant outside of sex, that's perfectly fine. You can be comfortable with that. It doesn't mean that you're not the dominant one in the bedroom. It doesn't always transition over into your everyday life. It can be just for a sexual scene. I think once people realize that, where men or women or theys and thems and so on, you realize that, oh, I can just be dominant in the bedroom if that's what my partner wants. But then outside of the bedroom, I can just be whatever it is else. All right, cool. So let's jump into other kinks. All right. So here's the game plan, everyone. We came across some websites that listed a bunch of kinks. Unfortunately, it's not enough for us to cover all of them in this one episode. So we are going to read through some of them. We're going to start off with the A's and see how far we get within the time frame that we have. But before we do that, there was the episode that you did where you were talking about some specific kinks. There was one that was really fascinating to me. The J-O-I or J-O-E.
Jerk off instruction. And
as a dominant
jerk
man,
off or jack off instruction. I can't remember what J-O-E stands for, but right. J-O-I. Yes.
Jerk off. That would be some shit that I would be into.
You would.
I would be. Just because, one, I like to be watched when I masturbate. And of course, jerk off instruction does not require intercourse. But if I have a partner who's there just watching me, I don't mind if they're telling me or asking me to touch myself this way. Usually if they're telling me, it's because I've rewarded them with the opportunity to do so. But it would just, I don't know, something about those words just turned me on. And I was listening to you as he was like, yeah, you would tell them to grip it tighter or stroke it slower. And I was like, oh shit.
It's so wild. I would love for somebody to do that.
I was like, oh damn. I think this was like episode that you did in 2019. So almost 2 years ago.
Okay.
And I was like, oh. Because I like to be, like, even as a dom or as a man, I like to be talked through my nut, too. I don't just leave it to me to talk you through yours. No, tell me where you want me to come, how you want it. Just verbalize it. But, yeah, I'm definitely interested. That's one that I want to happen, whether I'm doing it with the person. And I think it would be better in person versus, like, oh, I'm sending you a nut video and right. I'm stroking my dick. But, yeah, just... oh, this is what you want. Oh shit. Because I love, as dominant as I am, I love an aggressive woman who can tell me what she wants. how she wants it. And then I take that information that she's given me and I go with that from there. But yeah, I'm sorry. That one really stood out for me. I love that one.
So I vaguely remember that episode. I feel like I might, because this is when I was like, y'all, I was in my bag. Y'all know how 2018, 2019, me and Josh was out here, like providing all the great kinks and content. I feel like, yeah, I remember I used to do in my notes, my show notes called Kink Connect, where I would list, like, I would give you the websites to articles I found, YouTube clips. I feel like I might have tagged, like, something from Pornhub, mm-hmm. where this woman was giving jerk-off or jack-off instructions, and it was so fire. Now I have to go back and find that episode and see if I can find the link to send it to you, but it was so good, and she did it. It was like a thing. That was kind of like, that was that realm of porn.
I'm curious. Like, the way that I play it in my mind is one, do not tell me how to jack my own dick off unless you've actually studied my dick and paid attention to the way it reacts to certain things.
Okay.
That is one. Two, don't try and demand it if I haven't given you permission to.
Okay, it doesn't work that way.
But that, like I said, it would be like a reward for a submissive type deal. Like, all right,
you're topping from the bottom. So her
because once I give her that reward, that's it. Then I let her take control. I won't be topping. In that situation, I've never been in that situation. But just the thoughts that I've had right now in this particular situation, no, I would not top from the bottom.
Okay.
Because like I was still like, trust me, the dominance in me was like, yo, yeah, talk that shit. I love it. Like, I would keep that in my mind though. I let her enjoy her moment, but in my mind, I'm like, yeah, talk that shit. Yeah, be aggressive. I love it. Like, it's turning me on that she's vocalizing what she wants. Anyways, let's jump into the A's of kinks. All right, we got roughly about 30 more minutes.
Okay,
so let's start. And one thing about these kinks is that some of them are hard as fuck to pronounce.
Ooh. I've definitely Googled and YouTubed a few pronunciations.
So I apologize if there are some that I may, I just don't say right. Email me, shoot me a DM, whatever, voice note it to me so I will know how it's pronounced. The first one, abaseophilia. Abaseophilia, the sexual attraction towards physically disabled people, especially towards the ones with a wheelchair, leg braces, or orthopedic cast.
That's definitely a different kink.
It is, but also
we know it exists.
If you are very very insecure about, if you have one of those or things that was, there are people who enjoy it. And hopefully it's not just a sexual gratification. And
maybe I hope not. Right.
But you, there's someone out there for, like I say all the time, there's someone out there for everyone.
I agree.
And I mean that from the top to the bottom. Abduction. If you get turned on by the thought of getting kidnapped or carried away by force, it means you might have an abduction kink. People with such kink usually act their desires out in the form of a role play.
That's me.
Yep, as we talked about earlier, but the consent is key. Again, if I mispronounce something, half of it is because it's hard to pronounce. Abduction isn't. But if I struggle with it, blame it on tequila. Abrasion. This is a subcategory of BDSM, which involves sexual arousal from harsh surfaces such as sandpaper or steel wool.
I just think of how sandpaper feels against skin, and it is painful if you slide. It's like, that's almost like sliding down a sidewalk.
Yeah, I don't like the sound that it makes when it's rubbing up against something. So I can only imagine against skin. But again, if that's your thing, then you do it.
Of course. Everybody, masochism is a real thing. If pain is what you like, then I am here for it.
A comoclitic. A desire for hairless genitals.
There's a lot of men out here like that. Like that. That
there's some women who do as well.
Oh, absolutely. I'm one of them.
I've come to terms, like, for myself. Depends on what, if I'm having sex, no matter what, I'm going to be well groomed. I have my moments where I will be hairless. I have my moments where I'll just nice little close cut, might fade up the pubic hair. Who knows? But yeah, there's absolutely nothing wrong with hairless genitals. I don't mind it on a woman. I know there's some people who feel as though like it gives them like a younger vibe.
They feel like a little girl. I personally don't like it.
Or yeah. Vice versa. Like they feel right. like they're a little boy or a little girl.
Bald me, please.
Not over here. Listen, I like the bald. I really want to experience the landing strip. I love the landing strip. Like it's just something about it that is so old school, kind of unique. You don't come across it every day. I'd tear some landing strip pussy up.
It's just so much that entails growing back hair.
It is.
It's uncomfortable. It smells. It
coconut
oil.
Put some coconut oil on there. If
now
scared.
You want somebody to have a yeast infection. See, this is
no, not in there. I said on there, not
I
in
can't
there.
Use coconut oil in that
on your
area,
pubic area.
Period.
You can't.
No.
Oh, wow. Okay, so then if you know it's gonna fuck up your pH,
yeah, it throws my pH completely off.
Acrophilia. You have acrophilia. If scratching turns you on, just think about scratching the back of your partner. Mm-hmm. The term is often confused with. Not even going to try and pronounce that one.
Lagnia? Because the K has to be silent.
Yeah, the K is silent. It's not
Nismolagnia?
But either way, there's a there's a subtle difference. The K word, Knismolagnia, is arousal from tickling. As you talked earlier, there could be a partner who's... Majority of the women who I've come in contact or had sexual encounters with, they did not like tickling.
Do
like
not
you
like
tickle,
to
we fighting. That's
yeah.
I'm
now
not
gonna
try to do anything
face accidentally.
Gonna, exactly, I'm not gonna do anything that, like in the mood. So even as a dom, my punishment for a submissive during a sex scene is not going to be tickling them, because then we're gonna fight.
Yes.
Now, if I bound her up to a chair or something, I may tickle her. So. Then I'll take the repercussions afterwards. But in that moment, mm-hmm. I got my gratification. Mm-mm. If she want to swing, that's fine. She can swing. I'll eat it.
Yeah,
but,
I'm swinging.
Ooh, let me go ahead and add that to my list of punishments. I like that. I didn't think about that until now. Let me get feathers or some shit.
No, that is awful.
Imagine being tied to like the bed or bound to the bed and like your arms are up.
Oh, kind I'm of kicking the, somebody. I'm
armpits exposed. Just tickle the armpits or the sides. Yes. Take notes. Next one. I'll let you read the next one. Go ahead.
You would. Acrotomophilia.
You did a good job. Better than I would have did.
I've been hearing philias like for the last 3 years. It is a less common kink which involves psychosexual attraction towards people whose arms or legs have been amputated. So it's an amputee kink.
Okay.
It is also called pirate kink. And it says, just kidding.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow. That's.
So we're just going to call it by the scientific name.
Dating XP.co. Wow. All
right. Okay. All right. And I mean, I've heard stories. I think I just heard a podcast recently. I feel like it was Reasonable Ignorance, where the guy was an amputee and the woman wanted to be fucked by the amputated area.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I've come across a porno video on Twitter that somebody retweeted of it happening. There's no telling.
Because kinks are vast. They're everywhere.
True. All right, the next one.
Why are you setting me up right now?
I'm not about to take the L on this one. I've been sitting here for the past 2 minutes trying to figure out this word.
Actorosity. Here comes the sun. The term means getting turned on by the sun rays. People who have this particular kink must immensely enjoy outside sex. Okay.
So I enjoy outside sex. I enjoy masturbating outside. But I don't think it's because the sun rays turn me on. It's like, it's not the sun rays. Like the whole vibe.
Is it the nature and outdoors?
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. Like that. It just feels good to be out there, especially on a nice day. Sun shining, the breeze is blowing. It's not too hot, but it's a nice temperature. And you're just out there free in nature.
A good spring day.
Exactly.
But you're a nudist, so that makes sense.
I am very much so a nudist. And I cannot wait until fall comes and leaves start changing colors, because I'm definitely going to be outside taking some news in that one. Agalmatophilia.
We really about to struggle through these.
We are. We're going to struggle. We're going to make it. Sexual attraction towards dolls, statues, or mannequins.
Oh no, that scares the hell out of me. Like those creepy ass Annabelle looking dolls, or those weird looking like porcelain.
I'm good. If you have one of those,
you know, no kink shaming, of course. But
I'll go in, but I'm only staying a limited amount of time.
No, those dolls creep. I swear they're moving.
Okay, so I think this is one that does get judged a lot. It's not personally mine. I have my own reasonings for allowing someone to call me daddy, but age play. This is a subcategory of the umbrella term of role play. The players pretend they have a different age. Daddy, daughter, and diaper play belong to this category. Have you ever participated in age play?
I have not. I am not into DDLG. I know it's daddy dom, little girl, and it's also mommy dom, little boy. Mm-hmm. So it's MDLB. I have not.
Mommy dom,
there's a mommy dom little girl as well. Okay. Just like there's a daddy dom little boy. Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not fixated. It's vast out here. But I've never participated. It's not a kink of mine. I've never considered myself a little. I feel like I always say I have like maybe like 5% little in me because of the things that I like the snacks that I like and loving onesies and unicorns and like stuffed animals. So, but not to the degree of wanting to do like the regression and be five or a baby.
Okay.
Yeah.
The next one, this is me. Agoraphilia. If you love sex in public places, you have agoraphilia. That would be me. I love it.
That's definitely
exhilarating. I have an episode of Movie Theater Seats Could Talk. Go listen to it. We talk about exhibitionism.
To your episode. If now I don't want to go to the movies.
I mean, think about it. Like that was the number one spot where you had stuff happen when you were in high school and you couldn't do anything at home.
I never did anything in a movie theater ever.
Shit.
Even now, like in my big 30s, never.
All right. I'm sorry to hear that.
Me too.
Shit. Agrexophilia.
Agrexophilia.
Agrexophilia. Wow. Getting turned on by the thought that other people might know about, hear, or see the sexual intercourse.
Ooh, I have that.
Once again, that is I do not mind if people hear it. Depending on the people, I don't mind if they see it.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely something I like. On. Yeah.
Especially, like, depending on the scenario, I don't mind being in the space where people know, like, oh, they just left to go to the bathroom to fuck.
And they're cool with it. Like cool. When you have that group of friends that are on that level and they get it, it is what it is. Like I definitely would be like that person who, you know, owns a home, has a house party, invites all her friends, and I'm like, I don't care, just don't do it in my bed.
Exactly.
And be do clean and
please
be
clean
safe.
Yourself.
Yes, that's it.
Clean yourself in the space that you are at. Because I want to throw a sex party eventually. And that is going to be one of the main rules. Is wherever you do something at. One part of the kitchen is going to be off limits because I want food to be cooked and catered. But please just clean up after yourselves.
Yes.
All right. Alien kink. Some people get turned on by such science fiction sex scenes where aliens satisfy them. Okay.
I can believe that. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, if the right alien had like maybe three titties and was built right, all right, you know, I'd dive in there. I'll let you take the next one.
Alorgasmia. Erotic arousal by the thought of being with someone else during sex.
So I dove into that one a little bit because I was like, all right, does it count if it's just masturbating? But no, it's like while you're having sex with someone else.
I feel like that's bad. Like, is there like their pussy or their dick not good enough where you're just like, ooh, what if this was X, Y, and Z?
So I don't think that is.
Maybe I'm looking at it in a negative light.
I don't think it's the pussy or the dick in general. I think it just might be like the person.
Gotcha.
Them as a whole. Because you might connect with them in a certain way that turns you on. And so therefore, when you're having sex with a different person, you're just thinking like, wow, if this was them, like how would I feel because of how I feel outside of sex with them?
Right.
So I don't think that is just because you're partner isn't pleasuring you, or whoever it is that you're having sex with. Doesn't even have to be a partner. It could be just some person you're hooking up with.
It could be a thing. You're absolutely right. You know, this is me in my ignorance because I don't know. It could be, but I guess I'm thinking of it in such like a negative connotation because that's typically where it's always been.
Now, I mean, it could be, part of it could be in a negative, because if you're thinking of an ex or something, then that right. still falls under the category. Like, so it all depends on the reasoning.
Right.
All right. The next one.
You got that, or are you gonna stick me with it? I'm just gonna keep taking the L's tonight.
You haven't been the only one to take L's, trust me. I spelled one out completely and didn't even try. Amorophilia. If you get turned on by blindfolded sex, or you prefer having sex in the dark, you have a thing with amorophilia. Unfortunately, sometimes the kink goes hand in hand with low self-esteem or religious guilt. Okay, I get it, the blindfolding thing, just being in the dark.
Cool. Not wanting to be seen, now, yeah.
With that being said, the religious thing, someone sent me a message yesterday on Instagram talking about the term wedding. Have you seen that?
Wedding?
Yes, I will send it to you.
Okay.
But it is something that I believe Mormons or some religious belief practice, where they feel as though sex is a sin and God does acknowledge when they have sex as a sin. But what happens is, in order for them not to have considered sex, quote unquote, the penis will be inserted into the vagina, and someone who is called a jumper will jump on said bed or couch to cause, yes. So they think they're like fooling God by like, oh,
boom, like, I'm just, we're not moving technically, so we're not doing anything. It's a complete
new term of getting my dick wet. Like, it's,
whoa.
Yes, exactly. So they think that would not be considered a sin.
Interesting.
So I think that would fall under that. We're like, okay, the lights are off, nobody can see, God can't see, because
we're not moving technically. We're not creating or participating in a sexual activity if we're standing or sitting still.
Exactly.
Wow. Right.
I'll give you the next one, the easy one.
Anal sex! Y'all know I love anal sex.
We love it around these parts.
A common kink where people prefer pleasure in the anus. Woo woo! Me. Sorry. Y'all know I love anal sex, like a family member. So, almost.
For those who may be afraid to venture into anal sex, or just aren't sure of, what is it that you enjoy about? Like, what got you to that point? What helps you with anal sex? All of it, because there may be somebody listening who's like, "Oh, I wouldn't mind trying it, but I'm just a little scared."
Yes, I did a whole episode about anal training. Mm-hmm. Before you go into anal sex, you have to train. I'm sorry. There is absolutely no way around it, because that is a foreign part of the body if it's never been inserted with anything. And you have to get that, like, you have to get your anus familiar with something going up it and not coming out of it. Not right. to be, you know, harsh or anything, but the more you train and the more that muscle gets familiar with something being there, the easier anal sex will be. Lube will be your best friend, particularly silicone lube, especially when it comes to anal. But if silicone isn't your thing, not numbing lube, because you don't want to get an anal fissure and then have to go to the hospital and not be aware that you even had it.
Imagine waking up in the middle of the night and the numbing lube wears off. It's kind of like pain meds. Imagine you go through a surgery and your pain meds wear off.
I've had one. So y'all don't want that smoke. Trust me. It's brutal.
But okay. So one thing that I will kind of sort of not really, but I am disagreeing with you on, is that not all the time will it require anal training. It's better if you do. It's better if you do. Sometimes you're in the moment. Sometimes some people are in the moment. And if the person who is inserting their penis, toy, whatever inside of you knows what they're doing, then they know how to treat your body, how to treat it as they're inserting it. They should know to lube up. They should know that if you say stop or anything of that nature, they can tell your body language. Because I've had instances where they've said it was their first time having anal sex. Mm-hmm. And so I'm taking them for their word. and it wasn't any training done beforehand.
But I know everyone's with different.
I agree with you. Training is better, especially if you know that you want to try it.
Yes.
Please train. And by training, one of the things which is also on this list as a kink, anal toys. While some kinksters love anal penetration, others enjoy sex toys in their butts.
Me.
A subcategory of the kink is when someone loves putting the sex toy inside the butt while wearing clothes and even engaging in non-sexual social interactions. Butt plug bandits.
We out here, gang gang.
I love you. Okay. But even then, even as males, and I'm speaking from my own personal experience, because the G-spot for the man is the prostate area.
Absolutely.
How do you get to the prostate area? You go through the booty hole.
There you go.
Plain and clear. And I've tried a toy in there before. At most now, tongue and finger is probably where I'm willing to go with it, you know.
And that's real.
Fine. Yeah. Toy and finger, that's probably as far as I'm willing to go with it. I tried it and I was like, okay, this is interesting. Not really my thing. But if you do try it, gentlemen, once again, a common misconception with a man who enjoys anal play or anything of that nature that's being dealt with a woman, you are not gay. Okay.
Not at all.
You can enjoy anal
play.
You're
having hetero sex.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if you would like to venture out and try it, trust me, that G-spot is there. The nut is different. I will tell you that much. The nut is different when you got something in it. Now, I may try another toy, but it would have to be a smaller toy. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm a shooter when I masturbate. Like it's
fireworks.
It's fireworks, yes. I get fireworks with a little bit of a stream. It's like it's a less thicker substance. And a more watery substance whenever I've masturbated and I've done some type of anal play.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it is. And it's very important to know your body, everybody. So continue to masturbate and figure out the things that you like.
Yeah, don't be like me.
So some anal toys could be butt plugs, as we said, whether it's the cute jewel ones, the vibrating ones. I've seen one that have like the flashing lights that you could change with the remote.
Mm-hmm.
Anal beads, dildos, if you would like to, if you feel comfortable with that. And there are different size butt plugs also. You
silicone
can
butt plugs
small,
too.
Middle, a medium or large butt plugs, and so on and so forth, depending on your comfort levels. But those are those options for anal toys. Anastemophilia, sexual attraction towards exceptionally high or short people.
High?
And we're not talking
tall?
Drugs.
Because no, I'm like, you mean
they,
like
they mean drugs? I think.
Sativa? Sorry.
I'm assuming that they mean height because I don't know what a short would be when it comes to drugs.
Right.
So, yes, if you have a sexual attraction towards high or short people.
I mean, well, that's most women. Like, come on now. Every woman, every woman, because, you know, some, I don't have a preference when it comes to height, but, you know, he's 6'7". I ain't going to be like, oh, he's not, you know, not all that attractive.
Your pussy gets wet whenever you see a 6'7" guy?
No, I've dated too many tall men. I'm just like, man, you date one, you date them all. Tallest dude I've ever dated was 6'9". And like, what else is left?
Damn.
what else is left?
All right. Yeah. Aquaphilia. This kink means the desire for water sex. It might include a preference for swimming suits, seeing others swimming, or having sex in water. The term literally means water lover. I wouldn't say I'm a water lover. I've had sex in a pool a couple times, but
I'm a water lover, but not sexually. Like, I like the beach. I like lakes. I like rivers. I like, you know, bodies of water.
Right.
But now I'm actually cool on having sex in the water. Like
the consistency just throws me off.
It's the pressure and the potential germs for me. Sorry.
That as well. I'm not trying to get salt all up in your coochie and throw your pH off.
Oh my God, or some type of protozoa or parasitic creature. Like, no, I'm cool. Yeah. Sorry.
All right. Go ahead and read it then.
Autogynephilia. If a man gets sexually aroused by the thought of being a woman, he has autogynephilia. And I know gyne means woman. Philia means like or love or obsession. Auto, I guess, means self. Okay, look at learning the context clues and the
what was
the
that words that used to back have in the day in high school.
Yes, the words that you would use, the Latin, the term that would tell you everything.
Break them down. Mm-hmm. It was words something I can't remember.
You know, because we're removed from high school, people. So
years removed. Okay, but and then in a different realm,
auto. Androphilia. Mm-hmm. If a woman gets sexually aroused by the thought of being a man, she has autoandrophilia.
I think those are what's understood. Doesn't really have to be explained. If you're a man and you're sexually turned on at the thought of being a woman, you have autogynephilia. And if you're a woman that gets sexually aroused by the thought of being a man, you have autoandrophilia.
Okay.
So that's very straightforward.
It is.
Okay. As we round out the A's, we have autoplushophilia, which some people get sexually aroused by imagining themselves as a stuffed animal or an animal character. Oh. If you could have been an animal character, what would you have been?
I would be some type of a...
I'd be Mufasa. Mufasa was fucking all the lionesses on Pride Rock.
Really?
He was.
I don't know. I feel like I would be some type of bear, like a Care Bear or something.
A Care Bear. Wow.
Remember Care Bears?
Okay. With the little I used rainbows to love
that. That was my favorite star. One, actually. Rainbow Bear. Yes.
All right. Armpit fetishism. Getting turned on by the touch or smell of armpits. It might include the preference for sexual intercourse with the help of armpits.
And that's definitely a thing.
It is. Not my thing,
of course,
but same. There are some people out there who do get attracted to armpits.
Yes.
All right, let's see how many of the B's we can have. Balloon fetishes, a desire for sexual acts which involve balloons. It can range from popping balloons to sitting or lying on them. So kind of like when you as a child, and still, you know, part of us as an adult, still kind of get excited about popping the little clear circular things that come in packaging when it's a fragile item.
Lori did that last night, and it was like, and Twilight jumped up like, sorry guys, that's my dog, jumped up and was like, the fuck? Like, it was hilarious. He's asleep now, but
So we imagine that. Yeah, imagine that in the balloon aspect, but it makes your dick harder, your pussy wet.
Have you seen the Boz Burgers episode? I don't know if you're a Boz Burgers fan.
I'm still trying to get into Boz Burgers slowly.
Okay, so I'm a stan, y'all, for real. That's my shit. There was an episode, if you guys know, if you know, you know, where Bob and Linda went to Florida to see her parents, and she found out her parents were living in a retirement community of elderly swingers, and they all had a balloon thing. It was like a whole balloon fetish where they would swing, and I'll have to send it to you.
So there's one that unfortunately was not on the A's, so we're going to backtrack for a second, but one I really wanted to cover was acoustophilia.
Ooh.
The sexual arousal of sounds.
So sounds as in moaning, or sounds as in like sounds in nature?
So I think it's just sounds overall. Like any sound that turns you on.
Because there's a voice fetish as well. I mean, a voice.
Yeah, it's like a realism. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But would a realism fall under like with moaning and things of that nature?
Oh, that's not. How is that not up here? But okay, cool.
Yeah. Did you find something on it?
I have it somewhere, but I can definitely find it like 2 seconds. Nope, it wanted to give me autism. Wait, no, that's
acoustophilia, sexual stimulation or arousal from sounds including music, songs, verbal abuse, foreign languages, screaming, panting, moaning, groaning, sighing, heavy breathing, and sounds produced by people during sexual congress.
Oh.
So I think that like a ruralism would fall under acoustophilia. Be acoustic, acousticophilia. Yeah, there we go. It's like one of its categories, I think, because I think that would be specific to voices and.
Yeah, what I'm seeing is even to the degree of music.
Yes, so music can definitely turn people on as well. Like,
okay.
I did the sex playlist episode And one of those things is like the music can turn people on. I know that it's very popular out in the Middle East areas. I have a friend who indulged me with his experiences while he was over there, and his music taste when it comes to sex was definitely different. And he explained to me how the sounds actually like gave people energy, turned them on, just really got them going.
Is it like a frequency thing? You know how you can play music at certain frequencies to give certain vibes?
I believe so.
Okay. Yes,
as well as just like as a musician, because I play drums, like just hearing the cymbals crash could trigger somebody. Usually, yeah, if I'm playing drums, I'm doing it in church, but it triggers a feeling, you know. So I could see that transition over into a sexual realm where just hearing a certain thing can trigger a certain feeling inside of a person. But that's dope. For myself, it's the moaning. I love the moaning, and moaning so much. It does. All right, back to the bees. Barebacking, a dangerous kink where the kinksters desire unprotected sex.
That can be a dangerous kink if you're not doing it with someone you know personally, someone you're, you know, involved with exclusively, or involved with where you all have, you know, had a conversation where both of you have been tested and you're safe. That's mm-hmm. that's a very slippery slope. It's not a Russian roulette you'd want to play.
That is, I'm a barebackster, I guess. Like I love having.
Oh, of course, sex. It just feels better. It.
But that is one of the reasons. Exactly. I don't have as many one night stands as other people's stories do, probably. But that's one of the reasons. Oh. Mm-hmm. They're enjoyable. They can be. But either way, I love having unprotected sex, but I do know the risk behind it. So therefore, I'm very cautious when it comes to it. And I would just rather stick to a partner who, if I'm not in a relationship, I know. Or if I am in a relationship, I'm good because we in this thing together.
Exactly.
So please be careful when practicing barebacking.
Please.
Begging. It's so funny how all the B's are much easier pronounced than the A's. Barebacking. Begging. This is a subcategory of BDSM, and it includes sexual arousal for begging. It can work in both directions. Some enjoy being preyed on. Others desire to plead for sexual arousal. This is not the 1990s, the mid or late night. I'm not begging for sex. I'm sorry. That is not for me.
Well, what I don't if you're begging somebody does. Sex?
Now, it all really depends on what it is that I'm begging for. Like, I'm not going to sit there and beg to come. You know, that's just not, again, my ministry.
Okay, but you would you have an issue if it was on, like, the shoe was on the other foot? You weren't necessarily begging to come, but somebody was begging you to come.
I'm fine with that then. Yes, because if that's what they want to do, if that's what turns them on, then it's perfectly fine. But for myself, I'm not a beggar.
Okay.
I love when someone begs me, you know.
Of course,
or you pleads with me for them to come, but I am. That's just not me. No.
That makes perfect sense.
Okay, trust me. You say some shit, oh no, beg for it. I'm just gonna bust my nut, and all right, now what you gonna do about it?
Sorry.
It is what it is. All right, balloonophilia, balloonophilia. I don't. Philia.
All right.
It refers to the obsession with sharp objects such as needles, pins, or knives.
Okay. Interesting.
I didn't know that was a thing. That's the beautiful thing about kinks is you really don't know that it's a thing that you are into until you research it.
Have you seen the needle art? The beautiful, I've posted pictures, the beautiful needle art that people will have, like tons of needles in their backs and arms. And yeah.
I've seen it. I don't cringe at needles, but I'm just like, wow, that's a lot. Shout out to them for taking it.
Of course, but that also, there are levels to that as well. They probably not all, but some of them may be masochistic where they like the pain. They get off on the pain and they thrive in the pain.
Very much so.
Yeah.
All right, bestiality. The kink is a special form of zoophilia where people desire to have sex with animals. In zoophilia, they only fantasize about it and get turned on already by seeing animal sex without humans involved. Now, you do note that in America, bestiality is illegal. If that is your thing, then you know the consequences with that.
I don't kink shame often. I don't kink shame at all because, you know, what you do don't make me come. So
exactly.
I just feel like you gotta, that's a slope, bestiality.
Very, like, very.
Zoophilia, you know what, whatever you like is whatever you like, but animals don't necessarily have a voice. They can't say, no, don't do this and stop. And as someone who owns...
They can't give you consent.
Right, a little four-legged creature. I couldn't imagine someone wanting to do something of that nature to him. So again, I'm not kink shaming. It's just sometimes there are some things in this lifestyle where it's a lot. It's heavy and it's a slope. I'll just leave it there. Again, not kink shaming.
I agree. Body inflammation, getting aroused when someone inflates the body or some body parts.
Oh no, I've had things inflated. It's not comfortable. Really?
What did you have inflated?
Oh, see, shout out to Mandy. I went on her episode of Period Sis where, so when you have any type of surgery where they're trying to get to specific body parts, they legit blow you up with carbon dioxide.
Oh,
so
wow.
You're like a balloon. You're asleep, thankfully, because apparently it's really uncomfortable. And you deflate, but the deflation is a really uncomfortable pain in your shoulders and chest for a few days. And you're extremely gassy, so you burp and fart a lot. And I've had it twice. It's not comfortable. So kudos to the people who like to do this for fun. I don't know if that's the actual inflation, if you're using like carbon dioxide, because it naturally just expels itself. Mm-hmm. But that's an interesting one because it's not comfortable at all for me. I can't speak for everyone else because some people might like that uncomfortability.
So I didn't know how deep that one could go because I thought of like penis pumps or vagina pumps.
Oh, see, my mind went left.
No, I mean, but it was needed because that does fall under that category.
Yeah, that's like a medical kink, though. I feel like a medical professional needs to be involved if you're going to be like blowing up your organs and like knowing that they can shift and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went left.
Bondage, a hardcore category of BDSM where people tie up or restrain their partners. Usually it's the task of the dominant to control the submissive player. One of my favorites. I love downing someone because then, once again, it's a trust factor. They trust that I'm going to do right by their body, and you know, I'm going to not go too far past what they are comfortable with. And usually, there's an agreement that they know that, hey, I know your limits. I'm going to push your limits just a little bit. If they say no, absolutely not, perfectly fine.
Right.
They say okay, they trust it. We'll go with it. But I love bounding because especially with one of my favorite things, orgasm control, there's so many different things.
They go hand in hand.
Again,
it's like peanut butter and jelly.
Like missionary, it's like fucking pasta. There's so many different
absolutely
things that you can add on or take away or stimulate your partner with.
Agreed.
Body modification. Some of us feel aroused while they get their body tattooed or pierced. Others get turned on by having sex with people who have modified bodies.
Huh,
I guess you. I would count this as a kink because I love women with nipple piercings. So I didn't know that body modification was a kink. I didn't know that me enjoying women with nipples, because it's not a fetish. It's not
but
a requirement.
But you're sexually women, aroused by, you don't need it to be sexually aroused.
Fun to play with. They're just, it's
you
like
say
a
that
toy in my mouth. It's like, cool.
It's like
you brought titty and areola and nipple with the nipple rings.
Goodbye.
Like, it's just fun flicking it through my mouth. And especially if her nipples are sensitive, I love to make a woman come from sucking her titties. Oh. And so if they're sensitive with the piercings, it's not that much easier, but it's that much more fun.
Yes.
Because I know that she's going to get that satisfaction when I'm doing my job right, which when it comes to Sucking titties, I always do. Would you, body modifications for you, are you attracted to men with, or women with tattoos, or?
I mean, piercing? Not really. Like, it's not, I'm cool with either or. Like, if you got tats, oh, dope, cool. Like, I'm not going to be like, oh, that makes you so fucking sexy. No, if you have tattoos, because I have tattoos, you know, if you have tats, cool. If you have piercings, cool. Mm-hmm. I do like piercings. I'm not going to say I'm like, oh, that is so sexy, but I definitely prefer piercings over tattoos, especially when it comes to like a pain factor. But no, not really. If you have them, you have them. If you don't, I'm cool either way.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do not have any tattoos. I have my left ear pierced. You have been in support of me getting my nose pierced.
I'm trying so hard, y'all. He would look so cute with the nose ring, and he will not listen to me.
No, I whenever I get the time to, I set up a nice little appointment.
Okay.
So the next one, body painting. Getting excited about painting bodies or being painted on. Okay. I think that body painting or like nude art is very, and not just saying taking nudes, but using paint to create, you know, art with your body. I think it's pretty cool. You have to be very careful that you don't get it in all the crevices and
because you got to get it out as well.
But also, as I know now, that in a specific realm of sex, painting can be considered as something different whenever a penis or something is inserted into someone's butt and some brown stuff that we don't want comes out of it.
Ooh, yeah.
But my favorite painting is painting a face with a nut on a face, or painting the insides of a pussy. Boob torture. Ooh, another favorite of mine. Boob torture is also part of BDSM. Here, usually the submissive enjoys when the dominant partner applies pain to the breast.
That's a pass for me.
Really?
Yes, I have nipple rings. You're not putting on clamps on these things.
Are you a masochist?
In a sense. Before I got my piercings, I did the nipple clamps and the clothespins regularly.
So hot wax, right?
I do it.
You do it on your nipple. Ice on your nipple.
Yes, absolutely.
See, I would consider that as boob torture. Because
it doesn't bring pain. Nipple, that's why I don't see it as torture.
So if it got to the point where it did bring pain, you're stopping it right there.
Not necessarily. So my pain is like a forceful pain. So wax isn't necessarily like squeezing. I don't have an issue with it being like on my nipple or like my areola area. Well, I do have a little concern because, again, I do have piercings and they are open. People don't realize like they heal, but eventually, you know, things can still get in them because they're holes. So I'm kind of a little iffy about that, but I don't like the clamping and like the biting. I'm not a fan of that. Like biting too hard. No.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so we're going to round up the bees real quick. My computer's about to go dead also.
Oh, no.
But, it's okay. branding, a sexual interest in permanently marking one's body with a burning metal object.
That's definitely a big sign of ownership.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm not in the business, myself personally, of owning anybody. That's... Like it's like you said, there's a stigma behind it, and it's not because of the stigma that I don't do it. It's just I know that with ownership comes a great responsibility.
Right.
And usually I have a lot of stuff going on where I don't have the responsibility to, or I can't give that attention to what I am owning or who Agreed. I am owning. Would you ever get branded?
No, not at all. Okay. Not a tattoo, not a branding mark, nothing that would signify that I am own, unless it's like my spouse. That's different. But if it's like if I'm single and I'm dating, no, hell no.
Okay. All right. The next one. Brontophilia. Some people get sexually aroused by thunderstorms. They have brontophilia.
That's interesting.
I've known people to get aroused by like rain.
Okay.
The sound of rain and things of that nature. But thunderstorms is.
That's it makes you think of sex. I get it.
Oh, yeah. I'd be ready to fuck during a thunderstorm. I won't lie. Damn, it's just something like open the windows up a little bit so you get that nice little cool air
the
from
crisp
it.
Crisp air and the rain is falling. And,
you know, kind of like when you were a kid, especially in the South. And,
yes.
You know, it's thunderstorming. Turn everything off. Turn the TV off. You know.
That's me to this day.
Everything. And I'm like, okay, well then we turn every day. Let's turn everything off. Let's just enjoy each other's company.
And now somebody's pregnant. See? That's adulthood
for you.
Pull
out around here. Ain't nobody pregnant. Breath play. The kink is part of BDSM family. People participating enjoy it when their partner restricts the oxygen from them.
Choke
I love
me.
Breath play. I love talking a woman through breathing while I'm choking her neck and pulling her hair. It doesn't even have to be necessarily during sex, but she can just be sitting in a chair and I will have my hand wrapped around and controlling her breaths and telling her how to breathe. I love that shit.
Okay. I'm with it.
Last but not least, breast worship. The extensive adoration of the tits.
You!
Ding, 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 ding. I will say it until I am dead, but I am the Bubba from Forrest Gump. How he is to shrimp, I am to breast.
Oh my
Whether
God.
They are A's to G's to H's and J's. Big or small, large areolas, small areolas, brown, pink, mahogany, salmon color, whatever. Pierced, non-pierced, inverted or not. I love breasts. Breasts are amazing. Being a titty man doesn't necessarily always mean that we love nothing but big titties. We got love for the little ones as well. But yes, this would definitely fall into me. I love titties. And I will make sure that you know that I love your titties. It's just this. Yes, breast worship. So that came under
very you.
What about yourself though? Like, are you a breast woman?
I'm an ass woman. Mm. Honestly, like I love hips, I love thighs, I love ass. I'm not opposed. I love, you know, my boobs aren't the smallest. They aren't the biggest, but they aren't the smallest. So I like, you know, I love playing with boobs, like sucking on boobs. But I'm definitely more of an ass woman than anything. I love hips and ass.
Mm. Interesting.
Yes.
Okay. All right, well, we're going to stop there. We made it through A and B. And I told you guys, this list is long.
Yes.
That was just A and B, and we still have all of the alphabet to go. And as I'm scrolling through, yeah, it's a lot. But my plan is to cover majority of them, if not all of them, by the end of the month. So, Kiki, if you are available again this month, I would love to dive into more with you. I really did enjoy this episode.
Me
you
too.
Give me insight. It was good to have you on again, because as much as we talk, like, you are one of my best friends. No. I appreciate you. As much as we talk, you've only been on my podcast one other
which
time.
Is insane.
It's crazy. And which
yeah, we got to do better.
It's almost been a year since you were on.
In December, are you serious?
Yeah, we did the episode in December.
How have we not done an episode since? I was in New York. Even then.
I don't know, but we're gonna
work on that
one again. This is you being the ambassador of October. We're getting you back on, but please tell the people where they can find you.
Yes, you guys can find me on Instagram, Kinks with Kiki Podcast. You can also find me on Twitter at Kinks with Kiki.
All right, please go check out her episodes, like and subscribe to her.
Yes.
I promise you will be entertained, but very well educated. Very well educated. If there's something that you're not sure of, you can go on there for the most part and you will get some sort of sense from her. And I look forward to seeing what you have to come, because I know all of the kinks that are out there, you are definitely going to have. Like, it's very educating, entertaining, but very educating.
Yes.
And we appreciate that.
Thank you.
As always, everyone, you can find me at From the Mind of Mr. L on Instagram, From the Mind of Mr. L, just take out the O, on Twitter. Or From the Mind of Mr. L at gmail.com. I love to get you guys' feedback, interaction, your thoughts, the things that you enjoy. If there's something that touched you, something that just really made you think, I know that I am reaching out to someone. I appreciate that. So continue to do that. I love you all dearly. Thank you for rocking with me. Again, like and subscribe. Share with a friend who you think might need to listen to it, or they would get a little bit of entertainment out of it. I would appreciate it. But as always, I am the compassionate Dom, the sensual sadist, southern gent with a sprinkle of filth, your host, Mr. L.